Well, everybody, welcome to episode 73 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it is brought to you by our good friends at the Ankeny Office of Iowa Realty. They're located at 1802 Southeast Delaware, suite number 103. Iowa Realty is the proud sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic. They have 75 agents specializing in residential, commercial, farm, and land properties. Well, I thought we were going to have an all Fontana podcast tonight, but now it's going to be mostly a Fontana family podcast, as we've added a late guest that will be coming on at the end of the program. But we will be visiting with Ankeny Centennial assistant football and wrestling coach Mike Fontana in a little while. But right now, I want to bring in my first guest. He is beginning his seventh season as the head coach of the Centennial boys basketball team. And his team is coming off a 65-44 victory at Southeast Polk in its season opener on Tuesday night. He is Mike's older brother, Bob. Bob, welcome to the program. How are you doing?
Thanks, Dan. Glad to be here. I'm doing good.
Good. Well, congratulations on the win last night. You know, it certainly wasn't pretty at times, but you can't complain about a 20-point win on the road, can you?
Oh, not at all. I mean, Southeast Polk had three starters returning, and we knew they shot the ball real well last year. And so that was a big concern going in. So and it was a great environment, good crowd last night. So I was very happy with the way our kids performed.
What did you learn about your team, you know, last night that maybe you didn't already know?
Well, you know, going into the first game, you go through the practices and the scrimmages and that, and you try to find out what combinations are working the best. And so last night, we got off to a good start. So, you know, we didn't do a lot of substituting early until Micah picked up his second foul. And then, you know, Brady went down with the knee injury after just 2.5-3 minutes. And then so maybe didn't sub as early as I thought I might sub. And then, but as the game went on, you know, we got different combinations in there. And looking back at the film, you try to see, hey, what combinations work the best on both ends of the floor. And so that was something we found out last night.
Well, I know you have some health situations that you're dealing with right now, and we'll get into some more of that here in a bit. But, you know, do you like the depth of your squad in general? Do you feel like you've got a pretty deep rotation?
Yeah, if we're healthy. I said that was going to be the number one key to our success this season, staying healthy. And as you just said, we're already dealing with some adversity and some health situations.
Well, you mentioned that Brady went down with his injury in the first half there. Of course, we're talking about Brady Peterson. He didn't return to the game. You told me last night that you were crossing your fingers. You were hoping that it was only a hyperextension of his knee, but I think you found out a little bit more today. What exactly is the diagnosis?
Well, he went into the orthopedic surgeon today, and they thought he had a deep bone bruise and a possible meniscus situation. Excuse me, but they wanted to check, for ACL. And so he has an MRI scheduled tomorrow, so we're crossing our fingers that thing comes out negative.
Oh, I'm sure there's a lot of people hoping that way.
Yeah.
Well, you guys ended up with a really balanced scoring, you know, last night, even though you got there in kind of a weird way. Preston Kelling and Jerron Cruz each had 13 points, but most of those came in the first half. Cody McCall had 11, and Micah Johnson added 9, and most of those came in the second half. And then your fifth starter, Colin McAleer, he also had 9 points, a couple of three-pointers. You know, so I'm sure you're pleased with the balanced scoring, aren't you?
Oh, most definitely. I said going into the season, I was hoping that we'd be a better shooting team. And last night it was nice to see knocking down 6 threes. And if I remember right, I know that at least 4, if not 5 of those came in the first half.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk specifically about a few of your players. Obviously, your top returnees this season are McCullough and Johnson, your two senior post players. They're both going to be taking their games to the collegiate level next year. Johnson is signed with Missouri S&T, while McCullough is headed to Wayne State. You know, do you feel like both of those guys have improved a lot since last year?
Yeah, they have. And, you know, college coaches asked me, you know, which one's better, and I said, hey, take your choice. I said they both have their strengths offensively and both have their strengths defensively, and you know, they had a handful of Division II offers each, so, you know, they've grown not only physically with their game, but also mentally, I think, with their basketball IQ. And the thing that I've noticed this season too is they've taken more of a leadership role.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about the leadership. Well, you said the college coaches ask, you know, which one's better. That's like asking you which of your two kids is your favorite. That's a tough question, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I told both of them when they signed, I said, you know, congratulations on that. And I said, when the season ends up, you know, when it's over, I said, I'll probably go by myself in a room somewhere and cry that I'm losing those two.
I'll bet. Well, you did tell me last week that the value of those two guys as senior leaders will be just as important as their stat lines. So have you been happy with the leadership that they've shown?
So far, yes. And they're not the only two that have shown leadership, and that's something that has to be a constant for us. I met with our seniors last spring, and we had some small group talks. And, you know, I think that was a big point of emphasis. And so far, they've done a good job. And the thing that I've, you know, emphasized to these guys is, it's easy to be a leader when things are going well. But when adversity strikes you in the face, how are you going to meet that? You know, you can make excuses about it, or you can meet it head on and say, hey, we're going to get better because of it.
Well, I thought both of those guys showed an ability at times last year to kind of take over games. You know, do you think we might see more of that this year?
I think so, but I think that, I'm hoping at least, that we're going to be more balanced this year, both inside and out. You know, like I said last night, we had our perimeter guys knocking down some shots, getting to the rim, getting to the free throw line, pushing the ball in transition. So I think that, hopefully you're going to see a balanced squad more so than last year.
Well, Preston is your other returning starter from last season. He led the squad a year ago with 23-point goals. You know, but as a team, you guys, you know, did struggle from behind the arc. You made just 22% of your attempts. You know, you really need Preston as well as the rest of your guys, you know, to shoot at a higher clip this year, don't you?
Yes, we do. And, you know, Colin McAleer shoots it well. And last night, Jaron hit his first one, then he missed, you know, a few after that. But, having those two, and then if Preston can, you know, get going. And last night, Preston's field goals all came in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and that's nice to see. And we got one or two guys off the bench. Cade Mackey can shoot the basketball. Brock Jensen can too, but Brock broke his thumb in the JV game with 2 minutes to go Monday night. So he's going to be out till probably Christmas time.
All right. Well, yeah, I was just going to ask you about Preston. You know, he did show last night that he can score in a variety of ways. He probably had the highlight of the night when he took the ball to the basket, you know, with two defenders right there, and he threw down a two-handed dunk. You know, I know you talked about his athleticism for the previous story that I did, and he really showed, you know, his hops there, didn't he?
Yeah, you know, he is very athletic, and, you know, I've told him two or three times so far in the preseason, I said, you know, if you would just have that confident mindset all the time and take your athletic ability and apply it to all areas of the game, I said, you're going to have a heck of a senior season. And so it was nice to see him get off to a good start like that last night.
Well, of course, you guys have added a talented newcomer in Jaron, who has transferred over from Ankeny. You know, I know he's been playing with you guys since the summer, so he's probably already adjusted to his new teammates. But what did you think of his performance last night?
Well, you know, he's in a little bit different spot than he was before. And, you know, I think he's got a pretty good basketball IQ. And, you know, just him, he really enjoys playing with our kids. And just getting you, it's one thing to play in the summer when you're looking at a bunch of different guys. But when the season starts, you know, and you're not playing near as many guys as you would in the summer, it's still working its way out, and they're still, you know, learning each other. But I think that each day that we move on, I see him taking steps forward.
Well, he's certainly a guy who can do a lot of different things. You know, he can shoot the three, he can handle the ball and attack the rim. You know, and he showed when he played for the Hawks that he can bang inside too when he has to. You know, so his versatility is going to be a big thing for you guys. I know you're playing him at the point, but, you know, he certainly can do a lot of things.
You bet he can. And you know what, when he can also play off the ball too, like if when Caleb Van Meter comes in and runs a point, Jaron can play off the ball. And so, if everybody's healthy, I think that we can go with a bunch of different combinations. We can go big, we can go small, you know, we can go quick. It depends what we need at the time.
All right, listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest's premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic Podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, a vacation home, upgrade, or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office, call 515-964-5952, or visit gershman.com to get pre-approved today. Well, we're visiting with Ankeny Centennial boys basketball coach Bob Fontana. And Bob, I want to ask you about your staff a little bit. I know Byron Harp, one of your former players, is one of your new assistants. Now, has he always wanted to be a coach? You know, and what has he brought to the staff?
Well, you know, in the summer, Byron has always came back and like worked our little kids' camps and that. And he told me that, you know, he wanted to possibly get into college coaching. And we talked about, you know, him possibly being a grad assistant. And then it was going into the summer, he got his coaching certification, and I had a position open on the staff, and so he took that position. And he, you know, I got a kick out of him. He said, man, he goes, I'm seeing things from a lot different lens and perspective than I did when I played. And then he also said, he goes, I can't believe how much time you guys spend, you know, getting ready for things. He said, this is really good. So he's been a sponge so far. He's a smart kid. He had a high basketball IQ. And he's really enjoying it so far.
Well, I have no doubt that he'll be successful. It seems like those former point guards always turn out to be good coaches, don't they?
Well, you'd like to think so, yeah. And, you know, he's not the only former player on the staff. Luke Donadel, who was a year older than Byron, he was a senior our first year here. He joined our staff this year, too, and he's a freshman assistant for us.
Oh, okay.
And then, of course, Ben Lamont played for me at Kennedy years ago.
Sure. Well, I had one of your fans asked me last night about Coach Sandquist sitting on your bench, so I kind of told him what I knew about it. Mm-hmm. Of course, I'm talking about Bobby Sandquist, the former head coach at Johnston, Waukee, and Des Moines Hoover. And I know you guys have been close friends for a long time. Were you pretty excited to add him to your staff?
Well, yeah, definitely. That was a tough situation he was in and a very unfortunate situation, because I know how bad he still wants to be a head coach. We were at the Final Four together, and we just, you know, talked about things and what it looked like. And it was funny because years ago we talked about, hey, you know, wouldn't it be neat if some year we end up coaching together? And here we are coaching together. Some guys would say, I'm not bringing another head coach on my staff. You know, it could be problems. But the thing about him and I is our philosophies are both the same, and there's not a lot of difference, especially on the defensive end, and maybe just a little bit of difference on the offensive end. But I feel very fortunate to have his input, and as I do, like Coach Lamont as well. And then, he sees things, you know, that I might not see, or vice versa. And so it's been a really good, situation so far.
Well, you guys will see Johnson a couple times this year, and he can certainly give you a lot of input when that happens. But other than that, obvious situation, you know, where do you think he's going to help you the most?
Well, obviously he knows the league just like I do. And so, just little bits and pieces, like maybe we played somebody early in the season last year and he played them later and had more information on them than I maybe have had. Or vice versa. And so just comparing those notes and I guess you could say building our bank of information together. And it's good, too, to, you know, bounce off ideas off of other guys. And I feel very comfortable bouncing ideas off of him as I do Ben. And, you got a guy like Byron who's learning. And he sits there and he listens to us and that. And like I said, he's a sponge. And then you got Mark West, who is very analytical and, you know, will interject his thoughts every once in a while.
Yeah, I've known Mark for a long time because we have some family in common. He's not the most talkative guy, but I'm sure when he speaks up, you know, you listen, don't you?
Yeah, I always get a kick out of it. And, see, Mark and I have known each other for years because we played against each other in high school, mm-hmm. and then we were teammates at Grandview together for 2 years. It's interesting walking into Southeast Polk last night. We got Sandquist, West, who both played together at Southeast Polk, and then Paul Pedersen, our sophomore assistant, he went to Southeast Polk too.
Well, Bob, before I let you go, I just wanted to get your thoughts on some of the other teams in the CIML. Let's start with the Central Conference. A year ago, Ames and Johnston shared the league title, but I know Dowling brings back a veteran squad, and they've obviously added a freshman phenom in Omaha Ballou. You know, do you think the Maroons are the team to beat, even though I see they opened their season last night with a tough loss? I think it was 43-28 to Iowa City West.
Yeah, it's Coach Bergman's a good friend of mine. I got to give him a call and find out what he did last night against Dowling.
I'll
tell you what, to hold him to 28 points, because Dowling they're big, they're physical, they're athletic. They got a couple guys that were on their state championship football team that probably got to get those kinks, you know, ironed out. But I think they're a tough out. Ankeny's a tough out. Johnston has got four starters coming back with a lot of depth. Unfortunately for Ames, losing Lipsy, and I think the other guard's out for a little bit. Our division, I think in the Dwayne Redisher Super 10, they had Dowling, Ankeny, and Johnston all in the top eight. Mm-hmm. And those three are all in our division.
Right.
So, and then Waukee's in a different division. They were in that. I think they were fourth.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I haven't seen those rankings yet. But do you think Ballou will have the same kind of instant impact that Taman Lipsy had for Ames last year?
That's a good question, because the thing about Lipsy is he had the ball in his hands a lot. Okay. And so the kid from Dowling, you know, he's not going to have the ball in his hands a lot. So, he could be denied easier. And it might be somebody that's a lot more physical than him, where a kid like Lipsy, you know, that maybe wasn't going to be the case.
Right.
So I think it is he going to have as big as impact? I sure hope not.
Right. Well, you mentioned Lipsy's injury, so he's going to be out for the whole year, right?
That's what they say, yeah. So we'll see.
Well, it's obviously a huge blow, you know, for the little Cyclones. But as far as Johnston goes, I know the Dragons do return a couple of all-conference players in Reed Grant and Max Roque or Rocket. I'm not sure how you pronounce
it. Pronounce it Rocky.
Rocky, okay.
Yeah.
You know, so they could certainly be in the mix again for the title, I would think.
Well, that, and then they had those two guards last year. They were freshmen. So they have two sophomores and two juniors coming back that were in their top six last year. And then, you know, they got other guys, Woodley, Proctor, I'm probably missing a few. And then they got a sophomore, Kramer, that's up on the varsity this year. I mean, they got a lot of depth.
I don't think I ever heard. So who is their new head coach then?
His name's Brian Frick. He was with Coach Sandquist just 1 year last year.
Oh, okay.
And he was at Valley for quite a long time. And before that, he was an assistant at Grandview.
So do you think their style of play will be similar to what they did last year then?
That's a great question. I don't know. But we play them not this Friday night, but the following Friday night. So we're going to find out soon.
Right. Well, you mentioned Milwaukee, but when you look around the rest of the CIML, you know, who do you think are going to be the other top teams, kind of the usual suspects?
Yeah. Pick about 10 teams. Yeah. I mean, you know, in our division, like I said, you got the teams I already mentioned. And then, you know, Coach Downs does a good job at Ames, and I'm sure he'll find a way to get things figured out. And Urbandale last night had an impressive win against Hoover.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go into the division that Waukee's in, and you got them and Valley, and Valley's very, very deep, very, very deep and big. Waukee's got the two D1 players, and then the younger one's a freshman, and he's got a bright future. And then I'll tell you who else has got some really good young players is Marshalltown.
Hmm.
So, yeah, and then in the Metro side of the conference, you know, Hoover's athletic. North is very, very athletic. They got some kids out right now. I think Roosevelt's athletic. So, and then Lincoln, they got about three or four really nice players. I saw them this fall in our fall league.
Well, you guys will see one of those traditional powers on Friday when you host Hoover. You mentioned that Urbandale opened the season with an impressive win last night, you know, over the Huskies. So what do you know about the Huskies going into that game?
Well, I think they're pretty young. Freshman point guard, and they start a freshman kid's about 6'5". And then they got a couple guys on the wings that played last year. They're like 6'2", 6'3", that love to drive the ball. And then they bring two younger kids off the bench that are 6'7", 6'5", that are, I believe, are a sophomore and a junior. So, you know, they got some height, which is, for Hoover, that's sort of unusual lately. And maybe not quite as much depth at guards. So, but we'll be prepared for a dogfight.
Well, the schedule only gets tougher next week, as you mentioned. You guys will travel to Valley on Tuesday before opening the conference season on Friday at Johnston. Then you host Roosevelt the following week before closing out your pre-Christmas schedule with a trip to Ames. You know, I'm sure you'd like to be, you know, 6-0 going into the break, but, you know, if you can get through that stretch maybe with only one or two losses, would you be content with that?
Maybe content, but not satisfied.
Right.
Yeah. And then our Happy New Year's present is we get to go to Dowling first game back.
I didn't want to bring that up. Well, you guys won't see Ankeny until January 10th when you host the Hawks, and then you'll go to their place for the rematch on February 7th. I'm sure your guys will be, you know, looking for some revenge after losing both meetings to Ankeny last year. You know, I'd imagine Jerron will be pretty fired up to play against his former teammates. You know, what do you expect from the Hawks this season?
Well, you know, they got those three senior guards that are really, really good. They're as good as any, you know, guard trio in the state. And, you know, so that's going to be a tough task there. And then I don't know much about their big kids. So, and I don't know much about their depth either. But I know this. I know guards win. So when you got three guards back, and you know, that's a pretty promising situation.
Well, I thought they might struggle a little bit without, you know, Braxton Bayless for the first four games. But, boy, Jordan Cum had a big game last night. He kind of took over, and that was a big win for them down in North, wasn't it?
Yeah, I just saw the score. I haven't seen anything else about it. So.
Yeah, Jordan had 29 points, no turnovers against that North press.
Wow.
So that's impressive.
That's impressive. Yeah, we had scrimmaged North the day after Thanksgiving. And so they're athletic. And they, like I said, they got a few kids out. So.
All right, Bob. Well, thanks a lot for coming in tonight. Good luck the rest of the season. We'll see you later.
All right. Thank you, Dan. Appreciate it.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Ira Realty. Revive Clinic and Spa is also a sponsor of the podcast. Revive has a large menu of aesthetic procedures, including Botox, cosmetic fillers, hydrofacials, cool sculpting, laser hair removal, forever young photofacials, halo, and a medically supervised weight loss program. Dr. Steph is now offering hormone pellet therapy for men and women. She has over 15 years of aesthetic experience and 30 years in the healthcare field. Her staff is top-notch and the best in the industry. They give every new patient a complimentary consult that includes a Visia skin analysis valued at $200. Revive Clinic and Spa is conveniently located at 1850 Southwest Plaza Shops Lane in South Ankeny by the new Hy-Vee. You can give them a call at 515-965-5677. Well, my next guest is an assistant football and wrestling coach at Centennial. He was recently named the Class 4A Assistant Football Coach of the Year by the Iowa Football Coaches Association, and he was honored during the Class 4A Championship game at the Unidome. Of course, he is Mike Fontana. Mike, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Hey, Dan. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, congratulations on the award that you received. It was very well deserved. You know, was that a pretty special night for you?
Yeah, it was. Receiving the award on the field I played on was pretty cool. Kind of went hand in hand there.
I'll bet.
Like I told you in the interview earlier, it took a little sting of not advancing far in the playoffs.
Sure. Well, and we'll get into that a little bit. I know you told me that, you know, you'd done a lot of reflecting on your career after receiving word that you would be getting the reward award. What are some of the memories that you've been thinking about? Are they more about the players and coaches that you've worked with, or have you been thinking about, you know, some of the specific games?
Oh, they all come to mind. Mainly the players I've coached and some of the great coaches I've been with, making relationships with the players after they move on, some go to college, and also making relationships with some opposing coaches.
Well, when you look back at your career, you know, the two obvious highlights that stick out are the state championships that you were a part of at Ankeny in 1997 and 2012. You know, how often do you think about those seasons?
Oh, I always try to compare teams to see how they match up against those teams. Those teams were the champs. We've had some dang good teams. But that 2012 team was, top to bottom was pretty stout. There wasn't a weak link anywhere on that team. But been part of a lot of good teams, quite a few undefeated teams that just didn't quite get as far as they did.
Sure. Well, on the night that you received your award, you were in the Dome as Dowling Catholic defeated Valley to win a record 7th consecutive Class 4A title. You know, was that a pretty good game that night?
Yeah, it was a good game. I thought both teams came out pretty quick and strong. Thought Valley had their chances. And, Dowling's a playoff team. You might get them during the season, but they will rally up in the playoffs.
Well, they've shown that time and time again. And I know a lot of people are tired of Dowling, you know, winning state titles, but you have to respect their program, you know, for what they've been able to accomplish. I mean, you know how hard it is to win a couple of state championships. I mean, so it's just kind of mind-boggling, the streak that they're on, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And they have a good coaching staff, and they're good guys. I got a lot of respect for Coach Wilson, and Andy Pollock is a good friend of mine. And we talk a lot throughout the season. We even talk all the way up to our game.
Sure. Yeah, Andy's a good friend of the program here. He's a good guy. Well, you guys have been able to beat Dowling a couple of times in the regular seasons. You know that they're beatable. You know, it's just a matter of somebody being able to do it in the playoffs, though, right?
Yep, exactly right. Like I said, they rally up in the playoffs.
Well, you guys certainly had another good year. You went 8-1 in the regular season. You won another District 2 title. You defeated a very good Ankeny team in overtime to open the season. Then you later beat Southeast Polk on the final play of the game to avenge last year's playoff loss to the Rams. You know, are those your two favorite moments from the season?
I'd say, yeah, those two. Honestly, I thought our best complete game on both sides of the ball, along with special teams, was Fort Dodge,
mm-hmm.
a total game. We played well in those games, but they weren't as complete as the Fort Dodge game.
Sure. Yeah, you guys just really took it to the Dodgers. Well, you guys went into the playoffs as the number 4 seed, but unfortunately you dropped the 29-28 decision in the opening round to Urbandale, a team that you had defeated earlier. I know you told me, you know, earlier that it was one of the worst sports moments of your life, but that the award you won took a little bit of the sting away, and you just said that here a few minutes ago. You know, do you think that loss is going to stay with you for a long time?
Oh, they haunt for a while. But, you know, as the next season approaches, it gets put on the backside.
Well, I know you told me that you kind of checked out on the playoffs after that game, but I imagine you guys as a coaching staff get together and review the season or maybe go back and review that game. Now that you've had a chance to reflect on that game a little bit, you know, do you think there's anything you guys could have done differently to change the outcome, or do you think it was just one of those deals where it just wasn't your night?
If we would have you know, some unfortunate things happen. You know, some fumbles, you know, a mishandled punt. We had a great, great field goal kicker hit the uprights on the field goal. And there's a guy there that won. He won two games for us this year. You know, just some unfortunate things happen. A couple of times our defense was put in a bad spot. But, you know, then again, we have to, as a defense unit, once you're put in a bad spot, you can't, you know, you got to rally up.
Mm-hmm. But that's football, right? I mean, those things do happen in games, right?
Yep. Yeah, they sure do.
Well, your team is going to have to replace an outstanding senior class, including a couple of guys in Brady Peterson and Hayes Gibson, who are headed to Iowa State next year. You know, what do you think your team's prospects are for next year?
Oh, we'll regroup. We got some kids coming up. I know, like, on the defensive side of the ball, on the defensive line where I coach, I had the luxury of playing seven kids. Three of those kids were juniors, so those three have some experience. We got a linebacker or two with some experience, and we'll put together a team on the field. We'll compete.
All right, listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. The Iowa Finance Authority 2019 Mortgage Credit Certificate Program can save Iowa homebuyers up to $2,000 on their federal taxes for the life of the loan for first-time homebuyers. This program awards a tax credit valued at 50% of the annual mortgage interest paid and is available annually as long as the home remains the buyer's primary residence. Dave Lewis of Home Services Lending in the Iowa Realty Ankeny office is a participating lender, and you can call Dave at 515-321-5913 if you have any questions. He also has a variety of products and can handle all of your loan needs. Well, Mike, let's talk a little wrestling with you now. Your team is fifth in Class 3A in the preseason rankings by the predicament, and you guys will open the season on Thursday night at number 3 Fort Dodge. You know, do you think your team is ready to get out there, you know, and compete against somebody other than themselves?
Yeah, we're ready. Tonight we wound down with, you know, getting our weight under control, and then had that last hurrah. We go into our first meet, and it's going to be a tough meet up there in Fort Dodge. You know, it's a well-respected wrestling program, a kind of a hostile environment, and I've never met a weak link from Fort Dodge yet, so.
Oh, I can imagine. Well, there's certainly traditional power. You guys had a pair of one-point wins over the Dodgers last year. One of them came in the third-place match at the state duels tournament, so I imagine the Dodgers are going to be looking for some revenge, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm sure that's the one of their key thoughts in their head, and, you know, tomorrow's meet will be important where bonus points are needed. We need to get them. When pins are there, we need to get pins, and we need to stay off our back.
Right.
The bonus points are huge in a dual meet.
Well, Fort Dodge has 9 ranked wrestlers, including top-ranked Drake Ayala at 120 pounds. You know, he's one of the best wrestlers in the state. They're really strong at those lower weights, aren't they?
Yeah, they are tough. They are really solid 106 to 45. And just them and Ankeny might be the toughest teams in that 106 to 145 that we're going to face.
Oh, for sure. Well, your team has 6 ranked wrestlers, including a pair of defending state runners-up in Ben Monroe and Logan Niels. Monroe is ranked number 2 at 152 in the preseason, and Niels is ranked number 1 at 170. You know, how do you feel like you guys, you know, match up with the Dodgers? We talked about their strength at the lower weights. Do you think maybe you have an advantage at some of the upper weights?
Yeah, I think we have the advantage at the upper weights. I know they'll have a good kid back in the lineup in 195 in Akeley kid, but I think they're 52 up. We should be pretty stout, and that is the part of the meet we'll need to get our bonus points and try to get our pins. We do have some good head-to-head matches there, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, Ben is a 3-time state runner-up who has committed to wrestle for Iowa State, and Logan is a 2-time place winner who is also, you know, mulling his college options at this point. You know, do you think both of those guys are primed and ready to win a state title this year?
Yeah, they're both very, very hungry, and I do think it's their state titles to lose.
Well, after Thursday's meet, you guys will head to the Dallas Center Grimes tournament on Saturday. Now, will you be seeing the same teams as usual over there?
Oh, yeah, we'll see, Creston, Winterset, I-35, some good 2A schools, along with Des Moines East, Urbandale, of course, Dallas Center Grimes, and the 3A field. That's always a good tournament to start with. You know, and this year, Jay, we've revamped our schedule a little bit with some tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the Osage duels up there in Osage. They're a strong team with a couple Minnesota teams will be coming down to that. And we're in the Winger Invitational in Urbandale now. That's a big one. Then we got invited to a national dual meet tournament in Rochester, Minnesota.
That's the one on January 3rd and 4th, I think, right?
Yeah, it's called the Clash. You got to be invited to that.
Well, that'll be a good test for you guys.
Yeah, so those are the three new tournaments we're in this year.
All right. Well, last year your team placed third in the state duels before taking fourth in the traditional state tournament, and those were both the highest finishes, you know, ever in school history. So you guys obviously have set a high bar for yourselves. Do you think this team is capable of matching or surpassing either of those accomplishments?
Yeah, I do. I do. We have some we had some key spots to fill where Eric Owens was at and Nick Leo. But we do have some tough kids filling those voids. And we had some couple kids in the JV team that were pretty stout that their name will be called on this year. People might not know who they are, but they will once they step on the mat.
What do you think is going to be the key for this team, you know, to maybe reach its potential? So staying healthy, I'm sure, is the biggest one.
Staying healthy. It's a long season. And the CIML is tough as nails in wrestling like it is in every sport. And, when you go through a CIML schedule in that CIML tournament over at Southeast Polk, you know you've been through a grind. When you wrestle a CIML kid, you know they've been through a tough schedule and are ready.
Well, you mentioned Ankeny earlier. I know you guys won't see Ankeny until later on, but, of course, they've got a couple of returning state championships or state champions. That's going to be a good battle when you guys see them, isn't it?
Yeah, it should be. It should be. I got a lot of respect for those guys. Jack is a good guy and a good coach. We coached together for years before the program split. You know, and Austin was on our team as a wrestler and a competitor.
Sure.
So was Derek Huber. He's a cousin of mine, so him and I, our family, we kind of
– yeah.
We get in some disagreements over.
I'll bet.
A lot of respect, though.
All right, Michael. Thanks a lot for coming in tonight. Good luck this season. We'll see you down the road.
All right. Thanks, Dan. Thanks you for bet. Having me.
All right. You're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Whether you're looking for your first home or refinancing your existing loan, Gershman Mortgage has an expert to assist you. They help you find the right mortgage to meet your personal needs when you are buying your starter house, moving to a larger home, aging in place, or looking to refinance. Gershman Mortgage will be there every step of the way. You can visit their Ankeny office, call 515-964-5952, or visit gershman.com to get pre-approved today. Well, my final guest tonight is a former teacher and girls track coach at Ankeny, and he was actually coming into our office tonight to interview me for a project that he is working on, and I thought I'd take advantage of the opportunity to have him on the podcast to tell our listeners a little bit about, you know, what it is that he's working on. He is Dennis Adamson. Dennis, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Thanks, Dan. Doing fine.
Well, good. Well, I know this is a project that you've been working on for quite a while. Some of our listeners may know a little bit about it, but I'm sure there are plenty who don't. So why don't you briefly tell our listeners, you know, about this project that you're working on?
Well, we're always trying to think of new things to put in the museum. And being a coach and a teacher, one of the ideas that I heard piqued my interest, and that was having a display of all the Ankeny athletic champions, team championships, not individual events or individual relay teams or things like that, but team championships. And so we got our committee together and started, first of all, saying, okay, how do we find out what they were? So that took a while, and then we realized that I think we might be over 60 now, team championships. The first one was in 1979, boys track, and went on from there. What we envisioned was having a display for each team where we have a team photo, where we have some newspaper articles, where we have quotes from coaches and some of the team players on the teams. And just to highlight that kind of in a timeline and upstairs in the barn in the museum. It was a little more difficult than we thought to find the newspaper articles and find sources to interview. A lot of the coaches have retired, moved away. A lot of the athletes have moved away. I'm starting to get a bank of coaches and players. And you, I thought that you'd give a nice different angle, being somebody that has through the years reported on all these different teams and have a different viewpoint from, you know, point of view from what you've done. So anyway, what I thought I'd do, and Dan gave me the opportunity to do this, is to make a call out for anyone who's listening to this who was a player on any team championship team or a coach of any team championship team that I have not interviewed yet to get a hold of me. The best way, I'm not sure what the best way is, if you can write down an email address, that's probably not good. Do you have a suggestion?
Well, go ahead and give it out. That's okay.
I guess what you could do is call the Ankeny Area Historical Museum. We have a secretary every Tuesday and Thursday that's there, and leave a message on a way for me to get back to you. That'd probably be the best way to do it. Then I'll get back to you and see what information you could give us.
Okay, and do you have that number for the historical museum by chance? If you don't,
I don't.
I guess people can look it up.
just Google the Ankeny Area Historical Society. We have a web page, and there'll be a phone number at the bottom of the page.
Gotcha. Well, I know you've been working on this project for a while. So when did you start working on this?
About a year ago.
All right.
So we're trying to get it done before Summerfest, because what we'd like to do is invite all the graduates to come back who are members of those teams and kind of have an opening ceremony, ribbon cutting thing, and have them all come up and look at the display. And we also are going to have some iPads as kiosk with video interviews of coaches and players in more depth than would be the small little quotes that are on the posters, which is why I'm here to talk to you today.
All right. Well, you said that you're looking for different players or coaches from various teams to get a hold of you, the people that you'd like to interview. Are there any particular sports where you're lacking in people or different teams? Anything specific that you could mention that somebody you'd like to track down? Or maybe it's all across the board, huh?
It's all across the board. However, you know that Dick Rasmussen has a lot of softball teams and basketball teams. And not that Dick isn't good at what he does and everything, but I've got a lot of Dick Rasmussen quotes. And he's a humble guy. He says, well, can't you get somebody else to say something about, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so some of those softball teams, his basketball teams, that would be fantastic. I think there's some that live in this area. If not, what I do is I just email them the questions and they can type them back to me and we can do it that way. But it was really hard to get some of the 70s, 80s information. It's a lot easier now because the Des Moines Register has an archive and they finally put all the Ankeny Press Citizen stuff in the archive, and we're able to use those pictures and stories. And the school has color pictures that they take every year, you know, of the team. But the 70s and 80s was kind of tough, so we're a little lack in that area.
Oh, okay. Well, it's a very interesting project. I wish you the best of luck with it, Dennis. If there's anything else I can do for you going forward, just be sure to let me know. But otherwise, you know, good luck with it, and thanks for coming in.
All right, thank you.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. Iowa Realty is very proud and fortunate to have Home Services Lending, Iowa Title, Midland Title and Escrow, and Home Services Insurance as part of their one-stop shopping model. They're able to help you buy and sell anywhere in the state of Iowa. They can also help you, your family, and friends who are moving from anywhere to anywhere in the world through their business affiliates. If you would like information on how to become a realtor, you can call Mike Stanbro at 453-5350, or you can email Mike at mikestanbro, that's STANBROUGH, @iowarealty.com. Come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.